you need copies of the Bible study this evening, our ushers have them available. Just slip your hand up and let them know where you are, that you need a copy. Doing something different this evening. In the past, I've been assigned certain passages of Scripture, segments of Proverbs, as we preach through Proverbs, but tonight and then 2 weeks from tonight, following Easter, tonight and then the next couple of times after that, I haven't been assigned any particular Scriptures, but I've been assigned topics. And so whenever you're assigned topics in Proverbs, that can be very interesting. And so I went immediately to this book. It's entitled Wellsprings of Life, Understanding Proverbs. And I'll put it down on the communion table. If you have not had the opportunity to ever see one, you can come up after the service and take a look at it. This is not a book about Proverbs. It is the Proverbs. And it's been divided into all different kinds of topics. In fact, when I was young and early in the ministry, I began to do some research in the area of the various topics of Proverbs. And so I was doing my own study, and for years I was doing my own study. Then I came across this book, and I quit. I said, there's no sense in me doing it when somebody else has already done it. And it is divided out so that whatever issues you want to know about, you're able to look in the table of contents and you're able to see this is what Proverbs says about that. And so what you have in your hands has been retyped, but notice I've said at the top of the page that the outline came from Wellsprings of Life by Donald Orthner. And so my topic was diligence versus laziness, so I simply looked up diligence or work or hard work or laziness, and these are the pages that came up. And so I just decided I'm going to jot down my thoughts on the right-hand side of the Proverbs that deal with these two topics, diligence, hard work, or the opposite of that being laziness. And so as I began to do it, first of all, I started looking for any Bible person that would be depicted by this principle, any Bible person. For instance, if you look in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19, and you'll see all these verses in front of you, it's the second verse that you have there. It says, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons, and those are empty pursuits, shall have poverty enough. And as soon as I read that scripture, I immediately thought of the prodigal son, a man who was working with his dad and working in the fields, things like that, but then got to the point that he said, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I've got some friends. I want to go have a wild time, and began to follow after vain people. And so I immediately just jotted down, here is a guy that had the principle of hard work. His dad had taught him well, but he just made a decision, that's not what I'm interested in. He wanted to follow after vain persons. Now, that word follow after means to pursue or to chase. To chase. In other words, it became the consuming desire of his life to chase after people who were living a life of vanity, a life of pride, a life of hedonism. And so the Bible specifically says that if you till the land, you'll have plenty of bread, but if not, you'll have plenty of poverty. So that's the note that I wrote down. So what you see here then is first of all, I go through these Proverbs and I say, is there a Bible character that this principle reminds me of? And of course, as I'm studying it for myself. I'm studying it for any issue that I may be facing myself. But I also may be studying it for an issue that someone else may be facing. You may be a parent or a grandparent, and you may have some children or some grandchildren that are facing an issue, a certain difficulty that they have. And so the question is, what does the Bible say about it? And so as you look in the book, you're able to see the number of Proverbs that deal with that issue. Now, this book has no comments. It doesn't tell you anything at all about other than listing the Proverbs. So it's just Scripture. But it is such a handy tool to have to be able to see what does God's Word say. So I thought, tonight I'm just going to share with you just a very simple Bible study of laziness versus diligence. And it could be that as you look through it, you will begin to say, okay, what's the practical principle there for me? And as you know me, I'm very practical. I read Scripture and I say, so what? So how does that apply? How does that work? So what? Or it could be that there's a warning for me, or a warning for my child, or the person that I'm counseling, possibly as the counseling pastor. Or it could be that there's a reward for me to seek. And so as I study the Proverbs, these are the questions that I ask myself. And so you can see then that that's what I've done there for the first one. Now notice it says, work is necessary to satisfy physical needs. So that's the first principle that you see concerning diligence. It's necessary to satisfy physical needs. Obviously, this is something we want to teach our kids. We want them to understand, if you want your needs to be met, you got to work. It's not just going to come to you. Somebody's not just going to give you something all the time. That is a biblical principle. Notice the second one is number two, a good worker is industrious and fruitful. A good worker is industrious and fruitful. Notice A, he plans and orders his tasks. And so many times, as we're dealing with young people, we're dealing with folks that have difficulty planning their work and then working their plan. You know, they just kind of, however, whatever, you know, and they don't organize the task. They're not thinking ahead. Now, notice the proverb. It says in Proverbs 24:27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Now notice what I've said here. It takes time for crops to grow. So you would basically plant your crops first. You'd live in whatever you could live in, a lean-to or whatever, and you'd plant your crops first. Then, during the time that the crops are growing, then you build your house. Now, if you study history, you'll find that this is what the pioneers did. When they first went to a new area, they just kind of put up something that would just be basically a cover for them, and they immediately planted their fields so that during the time of building their houses, their crops were growing. Then when their house was completed, their crops were ready to harvest. Now, that's planning ahead, but that's a biblical principle. And obviously, if we're going to be teaching our young people the importance of planning ahead, we have to help them to understand how to do it and why to do it. Notice, not only do you plan and order your task, but secondly, he is diligent and conscientious, Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. See, God gives his blessing not to those who wish, but to those who work. That's the principle that is there in that verse. God gives his blessings to those who work, not to those who wish. And boy, we are living in a society that is filled with people who are constantly wanting this and wanting that. No, if this can only be happened. But they're not willing to work to get what they want. That's the principle that you see in this passage of Scripture. Notice Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts, or the plans, of the diligent tend only to plenteousness or to profit, but of everyone that is hasty, that means he's made no plans, then they tend only to want. And so consequently, you're able to contrast the fact that a diligent person is a person who is not hasty. It is a person who plans as opposed to having no plans. So as you are helping your young people to understand the principles of life, you help them to understand, all right, this is the success that you want to accomplish. Now, what does it take to get there? What's the first step? What's the second step? What's the third step? And it doesn't come quickly. It isn't a hasty situation. It is something that is just step by step by step by step. You see, lazy people want things to come quickly. They want to be rewarded immediately. They want what they want now. God's Word says that you have to be diligent, and it has to be bit by bit, step by step, and then God honors that kind of a thing. So then notice C, he is faithful to his superiors. A good worker is faithful to his superiors. Now, if you're trying to teach your young people principles of responsibility, you have to help them to understand, you need to learn what your superiors want. What are their desires? What is your boss trying to accomplish? Then how can you be a part of making that happen? And therefore, your boss is going to say, wow, that's the kind of worker that I want to have around here. Now notice the verse, Proverbs 25:13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. You see, usually the time of harvest is a time of heat, and you're just sweating, just pouring sweat when you're trying to harvest. But what he's saying is, if it is a cool time to harvest, then that is a refreshment to the person that is doing the harvest. So he's basically saying, in the same way, a diligent messenger, someone that you send on your way, that kind of a person is a refreshment to the person that sent him. And immediately I thought of Cornelius sending the three men to go find Peter. And it wasn't an easy job for these Gentiles to go find a Jewish man and entreat that Jewish man to come. They said their master had had a dream saying that they should come and get Peter and bring him in. And how excited and delighted Cornelius was when his three men were able to accomplish the project. What a delight it was when they brought Peter back. And that's what the biblical principle is, that if you want to be a delight to your authority, you will be someone that is diligent. Notice I also said Eliezer coming back with Rebecca. You remember Abraham didn't want his son Isaac to take a wife there of the unsaved people and daughters and girls. And so he sent Eliezer back to a hometown area, and he said, I want you to find a wife back there. How excited, how refreshed Abraham was when Eliezer, the faithful messenger, came back. Now that's the key word, refreshment. So consequently, if we want to be a refreshment to our boss, if we want a boss that is excited to see us walk in the door, then we have to be one who is diligent and one who says, what is my boss trying to accomplish? How can I be that kind of a person? I will be diligent as opposed to lazy. Let me ask you a question. If somebody has to be let off, let go, reduction in force, is that kind of a person going to be relieved? Oh, no. They're going to keep that kind of a person around because that person is diligent. They'll let the lazy ones go. And that's what we need to be teaching our young people as the principal. Notice Proverbs 13:17. It says, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health or healing. A wicked messenger. Now take your pen and make that 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, and let's go back and see that passage of Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman had a servant by the name of Gehazi that was an unfaithful servant. He was a man that had listened to the Syrian general come and be healed of his leprosy. And so the general then says, listen, I'd love to give you all kinds of possessions and wealth and everything else. And Elisha said, no, I'm content. I'm not going to take any. And Naaman said, listen, take 2 talents of silver. Notice in verse 23, and he urged him, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. So Naaman takes off, and he's going back to Syria. Gehazi says to himself, notice verse 25, he went in and stood before his master, and he said, where have you been? And he said, oh, I didn't go anywhere. Verse 26, and he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? I mean, this prophet of God knew exactly what had happened, even though he wasn't there. How would you like to work for a boss like that? Man, this guy's got eyes in the back of his head, you know? He knows exactly what's going on, but God had shown him what his unfaithful servant had done. He had gone behind his master's back and taken all these goods and basically said, my master's decided to change his mind. Yes, he wants all these things, but he wanted them for himself. Notice the last verse. And there, the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed, your children, forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. No longer was Gehazi going to be serving him. He was going to be a leper from that point on. Not just Gehazi, but his children after that. Boy, you talk about an unfaithful servant. Now, are there principles there that we can teach our young people? Talk to me. You better believe it. See, God is basically saying, I know what you're doing in the secret. I know what your plans are. I know how you're deceiving your boss. And I'm not going to let you get away with it. Now, there are biblical principles concerning diligence as opposed to laziness. This is what God wants us to learn. So he is faithful to his superiors. All right, go to D. He completes his work on schedule. Proverbs 10:5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. So you can see then that it's basically saying you're either diligent during the harvest time or you're lazy during the harvest time. And I immediately thought of Joseph as he gathered in the quote-unquote summertime. And when God told him there were going to be 7 years of plenty, and Joseph there working for Pharaoh gathered all he possibly could, as long as he possibly could, because there were going to be 7 years of famine coming after that. You see, Joseph was diligent. Joseph was the type of man that God could bless because of his diligence. And so this is what we see. He completes his work on schedule. Now, number three, we're not going to try to take the time to cover that, because so many times on Mother's Day and things like that, the Proverbs 31 woman is discussed. And so I gave you those principles there. But go to the next page, if you will, and go to number four. Number four. A good worker will be rewarded. A good worker will be rewarded. A, he will profit from his labor. If we are diligent, God's word says, we will earn a profit. Notice Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there's profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And I simply said, work more, talk less. Work more, talk less, right? Boy, so many times we see folks on the job just talking, sometimes leaning on their shovels, right? But I mean, just goofing off, okay? If you're going to be a diligent worker, and if you want God to bless you and honor you and reward you, work more, not just when your boss is watching. And then notice Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And so wealth that's gained hastily, you could think there the issue of gambling and lotteries and things like that. Wealth that's gained hastily is very quickly diminished. And we all have heard stories about people that have earned millions of dollars and a couple of years later, they're broke. Why? Because they didn't have the principle of diligence. But notice the last part. It says, but if you gather little by little, it leads to prosperity. And so here's the principle that we need to be living by, and we need to be teaching to our children and grandchildren. Bit by bit, step by step, God honors diligence. And so consequently, you don't work necessarily for the salary that you're earning. You work for the salary that you want. When so many times I've talked to young people and they're not willing to take a job unless it pays, you know, a major amount of money. And so I simply say, well, listen, how much are you earning right now? Well, nothing. Oh. So would that salary be more than what you're making right now? Well, yeah. But I mean, I'm worth more than that. You're not worth anything. You're not making anything. So how can you say you're worth anything? Take the job that you're offered and work for the salary that you feel like you're worth and not just the salary that they're offering. And if you truly are worth that amount of money, you're going to get a raise. They're going to honor diligence. I remember one fellow that they went to a Christian college and he couldn't find a job, and he thought he was going to have to drop out of college. And he called me back and he said, "Pastor," he said, "I think I'm going to have to drop out of college and I can't find a job." And there was a men's suit store that was very famous in that area. And I said, have you gone to talk to Tatum's?" And he said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "They're not hiring anybody right now." And I said, "All right, I'll tell you what. You go to them and dressed up in a suit and simply say, 'Listen, may I work for you for 2 weeks free of charge?'" Free of charge. "You don't pay me a thing for 2 weeks. If you feel like after 2 weeks I can be a help to your organization and to your business, then we can talk. But the first 2 weeks, I'll sell everything I possibly can sell. You train me, I'll sell everything I possibly can sell. Not going to cost you a dime." He said, "Man, I can't afford to work for 2 weeks for nothing." I said, "Now, how much are you making now?" Oh, okay. So he did it. He went and he offered himself, and the guy said, "Sure, I can work on a deal like that." So for 2 weeks, he worked, earned nothing. Mr. Tatum, at the end of the 2 weeks, said, "You know, David, you've been an honorable worker. You've worked hard. You've been diligent. I like your attitude, and you're here on time, and you do more than anybody else." He said, "I want to offer you a job. In fact," he said, "I'm going to pay you for the last 2 weeks." Now, why is that? Because God honors diligence. Amen? God honors diligence. And this is the principle that God is giving us. All right, notice B, 4B. He will advance and receive recognition. Proverbs 22:29. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Now notice in the margin there on the right-hand side, the word "mean" means obscure and insignificant. If you are a diligent person, God will give you promotions and you will stand before significant leaders. You will be able to work with them. But if you're lazy, you're going to be standing before insignificant, obscure people who aren't involved in anything that's worthwhile because you're lazy. So there's the principle. See a man diligent in his business. Now, notice what I've said. Improving with time and effort. This is what we must understand. We may not be that great when we first start, but we keep improving. We keep working on it and make your good become better and your better become best. Amen? Always saying, what is the next step I can take? What is the next spiritual step I can take? What is the next thing I can do to become a better worker or a better student or a better athlete? Whatever it is that you're involved in. Diligence. Learning, how can I become better? Go to your teacher and say, "Listen, I know I'm doing okay in this class, but what can I do to become your best student?" You go to the coach and say, "Listen, I know I'm on the team, but what is it that I can do to become your best athlete?" And he begins to say, "Well, if you'll work on this and work on that," and you say, "Great, I'll do it." And you'll work on it. Why? Because you want to be better, 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 better. Now, that is the principle of diligence. That's the principle of perseverance. When I was a student in seminary, I heard that one of the best paying jobs was the Mason-Dixon trucking lines, and we had one or two guys there in seminary that were working for him. And so I was teaching junior high school in the afternoon, went to seminary in the morning, but then I got done with school at 3 o'clock, and so I went over to Mason-Dixon. I said, "Mr. Prather, I'd love to work for your organization." He laughed. He said, "Yeah, wouldn't everybody?" I said, "Well, I don't know, but I would." And he said, "Fine, fill out an application." So I filled out an application, and I handed it to him, and he said, "All right, fine, thank you." I said, "Can we talk?" And he said, "About what?" I said, "About the job that I want to do for you." And he said, "That I told you I didn't have anything available." I said, "Not now you don't. But when you have something available, I'll be ready." And he said, "Yeah, okay, well, come back and see me." So I went back the next day. I walk in with my suit. I've just taught school. I walked in with my suit and I said, "Mr. Prather, good afternoon. Got a job today?" And he said, "No." I said, "Okay." So I went back the next day. Walked in. I said, "Mr. Prather, good afternoon." He said, "Good night." I said, "Got a job for me today?" And he said, "No." I said, "All right." I went back every day for about 2 weeks. He got to know my middle name. He said, good night. So finally, after a couple of weeks, he said, man, you want to work, don't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, he said, I could use you today, but you're all dressed up in a suit. I said, sir, I have my work clothes and my work boots out in the car. I'll be ready in 5 minutes. He said, have you had your work boots and work clothes in the car every day? I said, yes, sir. I've been ready to work every day when I came. He said, well, go get your work clothes and your work boots on and we'll check in. Now, why is it that I got the job? It's diligence, isn't it? Ladies, don't say stupidity over there. Now, that's not nice. See, they work with me all the time, you know. What I'm saying is God blesses diligence. Amen? Perseverance. Not taking no for an answer, all right? So we can see then that good worker will be rewarded. And he will advance and receive recognition. Notice Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Wow. That's interesting. If you are diligent, you will become a ruler. Notice the verse there in 1 Kings 11:28. Just keep your finger there. Let me read that verse to you. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all of the charge of the house of Joseph. Seeing that he was industrious, he made him the ruler over all the house of Joseph. Industry, diligence, hard worker. Notice, and we're going to have to skip some of these. Go down to Proverbs 27:18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And I've written, Elisha was so honored for serving Elijah. Elisha had no clue that he would ever be given the opportunity to become the next prophet. There was no opportunity to step into his shoes. All he did was pour water on Elijah's hands. That's the way Elisha was described. Pouring water on his hands. Now, how significant is that? But in God's eyes, it was. And so when Elijah was getting ready to go to heaven, Elisha, who had faithfully served Elijah all those months and years, simply said when Elijah turned to him and said, just ask what you want to. And he said, if God would just give me double the power that you've had. And Elijah says, good night. That's in the Hebrew. Good night. I mean, you're asking a bunch. And Elisha said, yes, but he's God. The amazing thing is the fact that Elisha was granted the request. He performed twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He served under twice as many kings as Elijah did because Elisha asked. And he was diligent before he asked. There are so many principles concerning being diligent. Notice C, he will enjoy the fruit of his labor. The fruit of his labor. Proverbs 10:16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Labor, not laziness, is a Christian's character. Labor, not laziness. Then notice the last verse, Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You see, the note says the lazy person craves the prosperity of the diligent. He wants the product without the price. He wants to overcome habits without discipline. And so many times, that's the hardest lesson we have to learn. Discipline. When I transferred from Bob Jones University to the University of Illinois, I had to take all kinds of extra classes because BJ wasn't accredited and University of Illinois was. And so consequently, they said, well, if you'll take debate class and make an A in it, then we'll give you the 6 hours of speech that you had at Bob Jones. And so I said, fine. So I got in there and I found out that everybody in that class were debate majors. They were all seniors except one other transfer student, and I'm a sophomore. I had no clue there was such a thing as a debate major. But they're debate majors. They're all seniors. And then the teacher says, now you all know how we get the grades here. You and your partner come in, and you don't know whether you're going to be debating for an issue or against an issue until you come in. And then you do the debate, and the team that loses gets an F. And the team that wins gets an A. And at the end of the semester, we average your A's and your F's, and that's your grade for the class. And it developed right here. It was called an ulcer. And for the next 6 weeks, I'm treating an ulcer because I'm going, oh my soul. I'm going to be debating against debate majors who are seniors, who have had all these classes. They know exactly how to do it, and I have no clue how to debate. But I decided I may be a sophomore and I may be new at this, but I'm going to give it my best shot. I went to the library. I wrote more note cards than you can shake a stick at. The issue was, should the United States stay in or get out of the United Nations? Now, we had to be ready to argue that we ought to stay in and ready to argue we ought to get out. So I had to have facts and figures on both sides. I spent scores and scores and scores of hours in the library, writing all kinds of notes, note cards for, note cards against. The night before our first debate, I saw my debate partner in the library. We were both leaving about 9 o'clock at night, and the library was closing. I said, Brad, you ready for tomorrow? And he said, tomorrow? I said, our debate tomorrow. He said, debate? Tomorrow? What's the topic? I wanted to kill him. In sweet Christian love, of course. You know. I said, Brad, you haven't been doing any research in the library. You have no clue what the topic is? He said, no. No. So I went to his apartment. All night long, we sat up, and I explained every note card. And I said, this is what this card means. This is what this card means. And if they say this, then you. And so we went to the debate the next day, and I'm about to die. I'm so tired, I can't really see straight, but I've got to get an A in this class. And so the other people were debating, and they said something. I pull out a card. I say, here, say this. And here, say this, you know. And the one thing that I had on my side, of course, was God. But secondly, the guy could think on his feet. And so we won that debate. In fact, we won every debate for the semester. Hair-lipped everybody in class. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying diligence, hard work. God honors diligence. Now, it's 7 o'clock. There's no Packer game on tonight. Halfway through my message, but I'm going to quit. Take the notes home. Take a look at laziness. Take a look at the notes beside it. Use it as a Bible study for yourself or for your family. Father, I pray that we will be men and women who will be noted for being diligent, never lazy. For God, you promised to reward diligence if it's accompanied with righteousness. God, may that be true in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.